Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, July 3rd. I'm Jonathan Aul. Several black churches in North St. Louis were severely damaged after the recent tornado. Cote Brilliant Presbyterian Church is one of them. However, members say the people make the church, not the building.
I'm just hoping that this new beginning will spur some hope and resilience in us.
St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson spoke with members about their thoughts on the church's abrupt changes. That story's coming up on The Gateway. St. Louis police say they are going to have extra officers out this weekend to respond to illegal fireworks calls. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports Missouri leads the nation in fireworks imports.
Missouri imports more fireworks than any other state, according to an insurance analysis company. But it's illegal to set off fireworks in St. Louis or St. Louis County. St. Louis Police spokesperson Mitch McCoy says this year, police will cite parents if their kids are caught with fireworks.
We felt as a department that this was the most appropriate and leveled response to ensure that we are keeping our community safe, but we are also holding parents responsible for being bad parents.
City officials are also worried fireworks could lead to fires in areas damaged by the tornado. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
If President Donald Trump's so-called Big Beautiful Bill passes, it could mean big cuts to Medicaid. More than half of the patients at Affinia Healthcare and other community health centers are Medicaid recipients. One change in the bill would institute work requirements of 80 hours per month for able-bodied recipients under 65 who don't have dependents. Affinia's president and CEO, Dr. Kendra Holmes, says she's concerned that the state will not have the capacity to process all the paperwork required to verify the work requirements.
We have people who are eligible, who are working individuals, you know, taking care of their families who are going to lose Medicaid coverage, not because they're not eligible, but because of red tape.
Affinia has already lost some federal funding, and Holmes says Medicaid cuts would further strain its budget. The latest annual report from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services reveals that mental health conditions are a top underlying cause of pregnancy-related deaths in the state. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley reports.
350 women died between 2018 and 2022 who were either pregnant or up to a year postpartum. And researchers found that most of those deaths could have been prevented if the proper care had been provided. Ashley Otto is a registered nurse specialist at the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
I just hope that whenever they look at this report and, you know, maybe share this report with others, that they can really find someone that they trust. So whether it be a provider, a midwife, a doula.
Otto says expanding Medicaid coverage and improving community infrastructure are simple solutions to prevent mothers from dying. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
The daughter of a man killed in the May 16th tornado has filed a lawsuit blaming the city of St. Louis for his death. Deborah Patrick alleges that her father, Larry, did not know he needed to get to safety because the tornado sirens did not sound in the city. Because of that, the suit says he was killed by a tree that fell on his house. In addition, the suit says Larry Patrick had complained to the city before the storm that the tree was dangerous. City records show complaints about falling limbs and property damage in 2023. The city does not comment on pending litigation. The Missouri Prairie Foundation would like state residents to ask Governor Mike Kehoe to sign a bill targeting invasive species. Michelle Skaliski reports.
The bill passed by the Missouri legislature in the recent session would ban the sale of certain plants. Calorie pear, Japanese honeysuckle, Sericea lespediza, Perilla mint, one cultivar of burning bush, and one cultivar of winter creeper. Carol David is MPF executive director.
These species all had widespread support from a wide range of stakeholders, including Cattlemen's Association of Missouri, Missouri Municipal League, conservation groups, land management groups. So there's broad support for halting the sale of these six species.
She says those types of invasive plants displace native species, which are the foundation for nature's web of life. The governor has until July 14th to sign the bill into law. I'm Michelle Skaliski.
St. Louis played host to a high-profile international soccer match last night. The United States men's team beat Guatemala 2-1 in the CONCACAF Gold Cup semifinals in front of a sold-out crowd at Energizer Park. The stands were dominated by Guatemalan fans wearing their country's colors and waving its flag. Casey Adams of Baldwin was one of the U.S. fans in attendance.
I think for the city of St. Louis, it means a lot for us as citizens because, you know, we just have our team for the first time for a couple years now. And to be able to have a matchup like this, I think it's pretty awesome. It puts St. Louis on a map for international soccer.
The U.S. will take on Mexico in the finals on Sunday night in Houston. The Gold Cup is a tournament that features the national teams in North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. Cote Brilliant Presbyterian Church is one of several black churches in North St. Louis destroyed or severely damaged by the May 16th tornado. A rebuild could cost $15 million. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, its pastor says the storm might have been a blessing in disguise.
It's 10 a.m. and the first Sunday in June. There are about 100 people gathered inside a First Presbyterian Church in Ferguson. Parishioners from Cote Brilliant Presbyterian Church in the Greater Ville are worshiping in the temporary location after witnessing one of the most unimaginable times of their lives.
Then in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus himself said this, "I'll let you build that one," but he says, "upon this rock."
That's Douglas Petty. He became pastor of the North St. Louis Church in October.
Because he said, "The very gates of Hades or hell cannot prevail against it." Not only on 4673 Laverty did the very wind show you it can go down. Oh, man.
Petty's delivery is strong. He's walking down from the pulpit, clapping and stomping and bringing the message directly to church members in the brown wooden pews. On May 16th, Cote Brilliant was obliterated within seconds during the tornado. The roof blew off, the vestibule was crushed, and from the Laverty and Marcus Avenue view, people can see the church's exposed organ pipes and the ceiling. Petty is driving home that a building doesn't make a church.
The church is not bricks and mortar. The church are its people.
Hours after the storm, Petty received a phone call from the local presbytery offering them the Ferguson Church because that congregation had just completed their last service in that building. The parishioners who came to the new place of worship are still mourning the old building, but happy no one was inside the church as the 170-mile-per-hour winds picked up. And that could have been the church's administrative assistant, Alma Williams.
My car is parked right in front of the church, right at the driveway.
Williams was sitting outside because she and a coworker had left the church a few minutes early to try to escape the storm. But she couldn't leave because she had to wait for her grandson, who was on his way to her from school.
So I'm just sitting there and I'm exposed. And all of a sudden, I saw the church just go down across the street.
In 1885, the St. Louis Presbytery organized a new church in North St. Louis. And 9 years later, they built Cote Brilliant. It was a fast-growing, all-white church. But in the late 40s, membership declined because segregation was no longer legal and black families began to move to the area. White flight dramatically left the church with few to no members, and eventually it was abandoned. In 1957, a new black pastor was installed and built a church with families from the neighborhood. Shelley Fleming joined the church with her older siblings in 1965. She was 8. She's 74 now.
We saw the things that Cote Brilliant was doing for children. And so we started attending Bible school, summer programs.
Over the years, Fleming brought her daughters to the church, and now her grandson attends. She says being without Cote Brilliant is a non-negotiable for her family. That's why she followed them to Ferguson. She saw the church at its peak with membership close to 600, but now it's dwindled to almost 200 members because of the decline in the neighborhood and population.
You know, so I'm just hoping that this new beginning will spur some hope and resilience in us.
Petty and the church elders are still working through plans for demolition. He looks at the temporary location as a miracle because it could help bring in more members. Co-Brilliant's legacy is tied to North St. Louis's community. Most people know the church for its role in desegregating housing, the hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of scholarships given to the community, its food pantry, and longstanding senior living facility. Resilience is baked into the church's existence, which is why a new Co-Brilliant is on the horizon. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that story. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. The Gateway will be off tomorrow for the Independence Day holiday. We'll be back on Monday. I'm Jonathan All, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.